Hey guys, welcome back to Real Bearded News. I appreciate you clicking on today's episode. You are amazing. But if you don't recognize that line, I'm a vampire, it's because you probably haven't seen this movie from one of the greatest actors that has graced our late 1900s and early 2000s. It is the man with the most unbearable weight of massive talent, Nicholas Coppola, also known as Nicholas Cage. Now, why am I talking about Nicholas Cage? Well, that's because it's been quite some time since we've had a Nicholas Cage movie. And this movie, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, is the most Nicholas Cage title that I have ever seen. Now, let me give you some background. I was introduced to Nicholas Cage with Face Off. I think I was like 9 or 10, maybe even younger than that when I saw that. The reason I saw that was because my mother was a huge fan of John Travolta. Now, my sister, who is 6 years older than me, had a huge crush on Nicholas Cage. She thought he was so cute. I mean, he's okay, he wasn't so cute. But anyway, so because of that reason, I was able to watch Face Off whenever it came out, like shortly after that, right? And so that was my introduction to Nicolas Cage, to like his wild antics. And then obviously, as time progressed and I grew up, the next movie that I was like Nicolas Cage and I loved the movie was National Treasure 1 and 2. And then Knowing. And then it was just, it's been like a down spiral from there of like just watching Nicolas Cage movies. And I've honestly have enjoyed every single one of them. It's been amazing. So I was like, when I saw this movie, I was like, I need to watch this movie. Like, this is Nicolas Cage doing what Nicolas Cage does. And what he does is just be freaking amazing. So I was never in doubt of Nicolas Cage, to be honest with you. And I mean, we have movies like The Rock, Next. We have, honestly, one of the greatest movies that I was not expecting, Pig. I went there watching just because it was Nicolas Cage, but I was not expecting Pig to be good, and Pig was pretty damn great. Willy's Wonderland, we've done a review on that one as well. That came out last year. Prisoners of Ghostland, we didn't do a review on that, but that was a pretty fun one. There has not been a movie that Nicolas Cage has put out that I have been like, oh, this kind of really sucked. I've enjoyed every single moment of it. Even like the worst ones, I've still enjoyed it, because Nicolas Cage, when he chooses to act in a movie, he acts in that movie, and he does amazing in any role, honestly. So The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent stars Nicolas Cage, and it's kind of autobiographical, right? Because it's talking about like his bad spending habits. You know, he bought, like in real life, he bought like millions of castles, I think. Not millions, but a bunch of castles at some point. He had bought an island. He bought a dinosaur tooth. Like, this man was very nonchalant about his money and ended up owing the IRS, like, a lot of money. That's why he kind of went out of, like, the public eye. And then all of a sudden, he's just making movie after movie, like, year after year. Like, it's non-stop for that man. Like, he was busy, like so busy, from like 2015, two, three movies, 2016, like four movies, 2017, like seven, 2018, forget about it, 2019, forget about it. He was just killing it, right? And so it's kind of autobiographical, and it shows like, even during that time, like he was just killing it in his movies. But again, for me at least, and then this movie kind of like touched base on it real quick. And then it also kind of touched base how it affected him negatively, you know, like maybe it affected his family. Like we don't, like I don't know Nick Cage's whole history, so I don't know how his whole family ordeal, like how that went down. So, but in this movie, it might have been very therapeutic for him, and it's a very much like life imitating art, imitating life, and it's so good. Like it's so fun. It knows what it is, right? It knows what kind of movie it is. It knows what actors are in it. And honestly, like, I did not think much of Pedro Pascal being in this film. I didn't care that he was in it. Like, I like Pedro Pascal as an actor. I like the movies that he's in. But I didn't. I was like, okay, cool. Pedro Pascal is in it. And for me, it wasn't like, oh, he's in it because he's, like, a big name right now because of Mandalorian. But I was just like, huh, Pedro Pascal's in it. That's great. But the like the chemistry that Pedro Pascal and Nicolas Cage have is as if they have been friends for a while. Like, the way the movie was made, it was like a movie of a movie of making a movie. If like, it was just so Inception. It was great. The other thing that I was surprised of seeing was the deepfake or DH Nicolas Cage. It was so good. Like, at first glance, you were like, whoa, that's amazing. And then you look at it and you're like, okay, cool. Like, I know this is computer generated and I can see it, but it doesn't bother you because, again, you're taken by the interaction. And the younger version of Nicolas Cage was so amazing because I'm pretty sure that they use Nick Cage for it. Because why wouldn't you? Why would you use a double for it? But it was so good. It was very, very well done. Of course, it's not on consistently, and that's good. But the times that it is on screen, it was fun to watch. It was fun to look at. And it was just pleasing all over. So the really cool thing was that, like I said, it was like a movie of a movie within a movie. But it really relied on like just pure character performance, allowing Nicolas Cage to do what he does best, allowing Pedro Pascal to do what he does best. And I feel like they were just bouncing off of each other and allowing each other to work, which is something that you barely see like in most movies, just people bouncing off of each other, like, you know, the energy, the cool thing to say, the vibe of each other. It was just pretty awesome to see that vibe work and work well. Something that I was not expecting was for these characters, because Nicolas Cage is going to do what Nick Cage does, right? Like, he's just going to be him. But the fact that other characters like Pedro Pascal, which we've seen in Game of Thrones, we've seen in The Mandalorian, we've seen in the Frontier, I think it was, or Triple Frontier with Ben Affleck. Like, we've seen him in these types of films. We've never seen him like this. And this is what was actually amazing, was the way that they were able to, like, Nicolas Cage was able to bring out the Nicolas Cage in Pedro Pascal, which is ridiculous to say out loud, but it worked so well. I really enjoyed it. And the coolest thing about it also was that the on-screen bromance that we were having in this was just amazing. Like, I could believe that Pedro Pascal and Nicolas Cage are the bestest of friends now. Like, I could believe that just because of the on-screen bromance that happened. And I wish that they are, like, I wish that they have a bromance like the one on screen, because you won't see it anywhere else. Like, it's very rare to see that type of bromance. Like, you see it with, you know, you saw it back in the 90s in Friends with Joey and Chandler, right? Matthew Perry and Matt LeBlanc. You saw it in, most recently, the Marvel movies. You saw it with Captain America and Iron Man, right? You saw that there. You saw it in The Fast and Furious with Vin Diesel and Paul Walker. So you've seen it over and over again, like, a few years here and there, but this one was an unexpected one. And honestly, I don't see a sequel coming out of this at all. But if they chose to do a sequel, it'd be a very interesting sequel to do And I think I have a way of how they would do it, but I want to hear your thoughts on it. Your thoughts on how they could create a sequel. Because I could think of something, but then it would fall into like this whole other genre of a movie. And I think this is just something that you have to watch. So here we go. What do I give The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent? I give it, for a comedy, I give this a 5 out of 5. It's a fun movie to watch. It was entertaining. You were never bored. You have your moments of just sweetness and of like thoughtfulness. Thoughtfulness so much that I think I have to go watch Paddington 2. And once you watch The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, I want to know, do you need to watch Paddington 2 as well? Because I sure as hell do. And I will, when I watch it, I will go ahead and give you a review on Paddington 2. Let you know what I think about it. I haven't watched Paddington 1, I think. But I'll watch Paddington 2 and tell you what I think about it for sure. But a 5 out of 5. Such a great movie. Go watch it on a date. Go take your family. Take your kids with it. It does have some language, if I recall. It's nothing that you're like, oh, I probably shouldn't go at all. Like, don't miss it just because it's a rated R. It's a very fun movie. There's a lot of, there's no cursing or barely any cursing. There was a lot of alcohol seen in the movie, or Nicolas Cage drinking. But aside from that, it was a very, like, I keep saying it, it was a very fun movie. And I think everybody should witness The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent that Nicolas Cage has in The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. And that's it. Thanks for clicking today's episode. I appreciate you and I love you because you're amazing. So, between the next time that I see you and I tell you what you should be watching, don't forget, keep reading those comic books, keep watching that anime, rock and roll, and above everything, guys, above everything that is happening in the world today, all the trouble, all of the things that is just massively insane, stay nerdy, guys.